Friends, will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I don't know if any of you have noticed, but it is pretty hard to be a human right now, right? The world feels kind of hectic. The powers and the principalities seem deeply uninterested in the well-being of the majority of the people on the planet. And we're starting to really feel the day-to-day impacts of climate change in our weather. And on top of all of that, it's dark at 4:11, which seems dramatically unfair of both the tilt of the planet and the orbit of the Earth. All of that means is that we are invited to, as Shakespeare says, muster our wits and stand in our own defense. And one of the tools I really like to help me do that is the idea of circles of control, circles of influence, and circles of concern. Especially the difference between circles of control and circles of concern. Circles of control, influence, and concern are three concentric circles meant to explain the difference between things we can do anything about and things we can't. The smallest circle is the circle of control. These are things we can directly impact, things like our thoughts, our actions, our words, and our choices. Then we have the circle of influence. That's the one in the middle. Those are things we can't control, but we can have a vague impact on. Things like our families and our work environment and perhaps our reputation. The largest circle is the circle of concern, which includes things that we can worry about but not do anything about at all. And these are things like the past, or the economy, or the news. The circle of concern is obviously the most tempting one when times are scary and uncertain. The one that can pile a mountain of anger on top of you or bury you in a valley of fear. The antidote to the circle of concern is the circle of control. The most irritatingly hands-on one. The one that requires the most mustering of your wits. When you give your energy to the things you can actually do something about, your thoughts, your words, your actions, or your choices, you increase your sense of agency and you reduce your fear and your anger. The circle of control helps smooth the paths down, helps make the uneven ground become level, makes a way clear for you to keep going. And making a way clear so that you can keep going in trying times is the work of the people of God. There is an ancient Aramaic translation of Isaiah, and it translates Isaiah 43 like this. In the wilderness, clear the way before the people of the Lord. Level the desert highways before the congregation of our God. And I like this translation because it pulls on and makes explicit a thread which is only implied in the New Revised Standard Updated Edition of the Bible. Making a way clear so that you can keep going in trying times is the work of the people of God. Every valley lifted up, every mountain made low, uneven ground becoming level, and the rough places a plain is our work. In all times and all seasons, but perhaps especially in Advent, a season of preparing for God to dwell with their people. This work, this clearing the way work, is done in anticipation of a great gathering in of exiles, a great bringing together of the people of God. Now, Isaiah is a poem playing with international geopolitics and metaphor. And John's gospel is a quasi-historical wonder tale trying to explain that Jesus is the Son of God. But both of our passages today are about the work of the people to make a way clear in trying times, so that people can encounter God. We'll start with Isaiah. If you were an exiled Israelite in Babylon, hearing the 40th chapter of Isaiah sometime in the 530s BCE, you were in a strange spot. The Israelites had been conquered by the Babylonian Empire generations before. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and the scribes and elites and religious leaders had been taken into captivity in Babylon and had been encouraged by the prophet Jeremiah to make their lives there, to make houses and live in them, to take wives and have children and seek the welfare of the city where God had sent them into exile. Then along came King Cyrus of Persia, who conquered Babylon in turn and let the Israelites go back to Jerusalem. Let them return to worship their own God in their own place. Comfort, comfort, O my people. Clear the way before the people of the Lord. Isaiah's poetic mountains are a mix of real and metaphorical. This is prophetic advice to a people who will make a real journey, and many feet will widen the path and smooth out the rough places. But it is also a word about concern and control. The Israelites remain a conquered people. They are subject to the whims of a foreign king who is, in this case, merciful, but they have no power to dictate or influence his will. What they can control is their decision to return to Jerusalem. What they can control is their decision to give up their lives in Babylon. What they can control is their response to God's invitation to clear the way before the people of God. Their response to God's promise of comfort in a time of uncertainty and promise of meaningful work to make a way clear. To God's invitation to be the people of God in all times and all seasons. The people who received the good news of the Gospel of John faced a wrestle with concern and control too. Jesus had come and gone and come again and gone again and not come back. The community this gospel spoke to, of mixed Jewish and Samaritan and Gentile origin, did not know when their Messiah would join them again. They had concern, but no control over the timing of Jesus' return or over the Roman Empire of which they were a part. What they could control was the work of being the people of God, the work of figuring out what it was to be Jesus' followers without, but in anticipation of Jesus. John the Baptist's mountains and valleys, therefore, might be more metaphorical than Isaiah's, might be more cultural and historical and theological differences among the followers of Jesus. John figures in the story as a prophet, and you can tell that the author of the gospel wants us to know that he's a prophet because of the amount of time the scribes and the Levites spend asking him which prophet he is. And he's going to do the work that all prophets do, telling the people what to do to be able to dwell with God. John is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, foretelling a great in-gathering of exiles brought together to be reborn and united as children of God by the ministry of Jesus, commanding the people to make clear the way of the Lord. To a diverse community of mixed Jewish, Samaritan, and Gentile origin with very little political or social power in the culture of their time, telling them to get the social valleys, the historical paths, and the theological mountains separating them from each other out of the way is doing what they can control. It's making a way clear so that they can keep going in trying times. And it is the work of the people of God. I think we face mountains and valleys too. I think we face communal ones like our siblings in history, and I think we face mountains and valleys inside our heads. The challenges we face, the complexity and injustice of the world, the realities of existing to some degree subject to the whims of power, the warming of our planet, they are real. and they are enormous. And they can only be wrestled with together. But our world and our culture is set up to isolate us, to individualize us, and then to feed us a non-stop doom scroll drip of information calculated to create anger and fear and just enough dopamine that you keep reading it. Our circle of concern can grow and grow and grow and leave very little room for hope, for peace, for love, or for joy. It can leave us feeling like the mountains and the valleys are too big, and like we have very little capacity to make any kind of way clear. Beloveds, we are in Advent. We are in a time of remembering that Jesus is coming into the world. Jesus, who shares with King Cyrus of Persia the title of Prince of Peace, wants peace for us in the midst, as a people and inside our beloved and complicated heads. As individuals, we can control very little of what worries us. Like our siblings before us, we are governed by powers that leave us with little we can do to influence their will. We cannot change appointments to cabinet any more than we can make it rain in the Commonwealth that is stuck in a month-long emergency drought. We can worry and worry and worry and worry and make our minds terribly inhospitable places to live. Rob ourselves of all kinds of peace and not change an iota of any of it. What we can impact is how we live together and how we live with ourselves. We can take a page from our forebears, listen for God, and do whatever it takes to dwell where God dwells. As the Israelites left their lives in Babylon to return to Jerusalem, we can make choices in our own lives to move towards God. We know that God promises to dwell with the widow and the orphan, with the sick and with the refugee, with the poor and with the imprisoned. The work of the people of God is to make a way clear for people to encounter God. We can engage in prison outreach. We can engage in our new neighbor task force and our climate justice work. We can listen to John the Baptist and build communities that work to level the mountains and valleys of social, historical, and theological prejudice that separate people from encountering God together. We can engage in work for racial justice, and we can join together to protect and empower our queer siblings in the days and weeks and months to come. We can listen to the Spirit within us and take time to cultivate peace inside ourselves along the way, to put our phones down, to choose actions from our circle of control more often than our circle of concern. If you are hearing this and you are hungry for action, you can get to the work of making the way clear for the people of God at Old South Church by joining John and Maren immediately after this service in Mary Norton Hall to strategize about the next few years of our future together as a people. If you are hungry for peace inside your head, you can join Vespers worship at 5 p.m. today on Zoom. If you're hungry for actual food and the company of your fellow humans, you can head to coffee hour in the chapel immediately following this service. The times are hard, friends. They are scary and uncertain and seek to pile a mountain of anger on top of you and bury you in a valley of fear. Don't let them. Dwell with us. Together, beloveds, let us make a way clear. For that is the work of the people of God. Amen.